This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour number two starts now. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. People, we always try and get you breaking news when we get it, because by the time we come on the air, a lot of the stuff from the weekend is regurgitated. But here it is. Here it is for your ears and your ears only, amongst others. Joseph Duarte of the Chronicle reporting the UH Cougars football team and Dana Holgorsen is announcing De'Eriq King is going to redshirt for the rest of the season and sit the rest of this one out. He will be available next year, obviously. I got a lot of thoughts on this. First thing is, as we were talking about when I kept saying Dana's got to get his guys in here, I think he realized that he's got a hell of a good talent in King on a hell of a bad situation this first year at U of H. And for all parties involved, he's probably making a business decision, as they say.
Holgorsen out here playing chess. Everybody else was playing checkers. He's like, you know, I could get another year out of him, and this season is already done. We suck. We're probably not going to even be bowl eligible. Sorry, Cougs, to be the one to break it to you, but it's not a good football team this year. I think it's a smart move if you can get away with it. Very smart.
No
move.
Doubt
it's
about it.
A shrewd move at the very least.
And again, we see when you watch the Cougs week in, week out, the frustration that Dana has trying to play fast, trying to get the plays in fast, and then not being able to get them in the way, you know, in the speed that he wants, not getting the players to execute in a fashion in which he expects when he wants to run his offense a certain way. And we said that was going to take time. So with that, hey, props to him. As long as all parties involved were on board with it, you save one of the guys that is one. Look at his, just the number that's crazy to me was the record that King broke last week. When you talk about breaking a Tim Tebow college football record, you're saying something. And he broke it for most consecutive weeks with a running and a passing touchdown in a college career. That tells you how effective and what kind of player we're discussing in De'Eriq King. So the fact that Dana saw enough of him to say, you know what, there's a guy that can run my system no matter what. Let's let him have his senior year when I can put players around him that can help him be effective running.
Yeah, a smart move.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So there's some Cougs information.
It's going to be a rough year. That's for sure. I feel bad for all the Cougs out there.
I mean, I don't mind a coach being realistic about the situation. We were talking about it after that first game. They struggled to tackle against the Tulane squad. They're just not as good as they should be. I've always talked about how this program is a winning program despite being in the conference that they are in. And they're just not up to par. And what President Couture even said it. What? How many wins wasn't good enough? I think she said 8 wins or 7 wins or 10 wins wasn't good enough. There's a standard despite being in this conference. So Dana knows that, and he doesn't want to waste time. That's what it looks like, at least.
Well, and I think this, too. The defensive line, and we mentioned how good Ed Oliver was, but now you really realize it because they've always been somewhat undersized. And obviously the program hasn't been able to recruit like the big-time SEC Big 12 schools that get those massive linemen that can clog up holes and really do some things. But they, to your point, Nick, they got exposed by a Tulane team that could have done whatever they wanted to do and just jammed it down their throat running every single play. Probably would have won the football game.
Yeah, but I will say, worse come from ahead loss. Cougs at Tulane or another Cougars team? Washington State at the Bruins this weekend.
How do you
lose a game where your quarterback throws 9 touchdowns and you still lose?
Let's correct what we just said.
Yeah, it's
according to Mark
news.
Berman, he's more leaving. Breaking news. He's not redshirting to stay with Dana.
What?
He's redshirting to leave the program.
And his dad confirmed, too.
His dad has just confirmed with Mark Berman. It's the best decision for him at this point. Very, very tough decision.
So Joseph Duarte had it wrong.
He's got a lot of teammates riding on him. Sometimes you got to be. Duarte reported that he was going to
redshirted, which is correct.
He didn't report the fact that the next shoe to fall.
So neither of them were wrong.
Okay. So that's crazy.
Wow.
So Maybe that says a little bit something different about what's going on with Dana and the program. Man. But nonetheless, there's your breaking news. Derek King's redshirting and leaving the program.
Is Dana Holgorsen the new A&M?
Kevin Sumlin?
Is he the new Kevin Sumlin just running quarterbacks out of town?
That's in the best interest of Dana, and what King is doing is in the best interest for him.
You think so?
It's just a conflict. It's basically, yeah, I think so. I don't think it makes sense for King to sit out for a whole year.
You got a guy that was on the radar for Heisman Trophy this year. I don't think the best interest, if I'm a coach trying to win and recruit and you want to put forth a winning program, and even if you manage to salvage the season and win out, that's still, you know, three losses. Not saying this Cougs team is that good, but North Texas, Cincinnati, UConn, SMU just put a whooping on TCU.
Not bad.
Yeah, I mean, UCF probably going to be an issue. Memphis, Tulsa, Navy. There's still some winnable games in there, and you might eke out your six wins and be bowl eligible. As a coach, I would like him around, but you're like, well, we'll play for next year, that's one thing, but just to have him leave?
I mean, it might be him thinking long-term early, like sooner rather than later, because it's early in his tenure.
That could be.
I mean, you're obviously getting your feet wet in that first season. I mean, maybe he's thinking long-term now as opposed to, well, let me pull this move off 1 or 2 years in my tenure.
I like the idea of it where you're saying next year. We're gonna redshirt him and save him for next year. We get another year of letting other people and figuring out this offense and this and the other. But just redshirting him to let him leave? Well, I don't like that.
Well, and the thing is, you look at it from two different perspectives. From Dana's perspective, I think you're shocked because, to your point, you've got enough talent at the quarterback position that you know that with a year of recruiting, even though it's going to be a majority of freshmen, but you could probably get some transfers, he's already shown he can do that and get some linemen from other places that can come in here and give him some size and make a difference. You're hoping that he would do this to stick around with the program. Mm-hmm. If he's doing this in his best interest to get to a program that's already established so that it helps him, can't fault him for doing it. But at the same time, I think it's not a great look for the Cougs.
It's not. Yeah, it's and that's, you know, we'll see how they bounce back. And I don't anticipate this year being all that stellar. And this could be a setback as opposed to, because now you think when you're trying to recruit in those offenses, even if you had King for next year, you could be like, hey, if you're a receiver, come play for us. We've got this dynamic playmaker and you're going to be better. And same thing offensive. You have something to work with by building around him. But leaving, that's a big blow.
Final quote from his dad was, sometimes you got to be a little self-centered and do what's best for you. So I guess at a certain point, because you look at it, look.
Including abandoning a team that took a chance on you?
But here's the thing,
I wonder where he was offered, what other offers he had coming out of high school.
He had them. And the thing was, they all wanted him to play quarterback. Now, under Tom Herman, he agreed to play wide receiver. And then when they needed him, he switched back to quarterback. But Lord knows whether it's a quarterback or another position on the football field. Just from an athletic talent standpoint, you're looking at a guy that's going to get looks in the NFL because he's athletic, he's elusive, he's quick, he's got a lot of ability. And I think that maybe from a family perspective, they sat back and said, can we get one? They see what a lot of – look at Jalen Hurts. They see a lot of different examples of, I can get somewhere for a year – and make enough of an impact on a college program that pro scouts are going to take a notice, and I'll have a better chance to extend my career professionally.
So he got offers from U of H, obviously.
Yeah.
Cal, Baylor. I'm going to Baylor.
Only because of what's been going on lately.
Clemson.
Oh, boy.
Pass that up. K-State, Louisville, Michigan State, Rutgers, TCU, Tech, UCLA, and Washington. Having just told you that SMU beat TCU, that might be an interesting spot to go land.
You know he's got something in his back pocket already.
Yeah,
you're right. And it's probably someone that recruited him all along that can give him a chance. But look for a program that's on the rise, that's already established, but is in need of one gaping hole, which is quarterback. Florida State just recently did it too, where the Seminoles thought that they were, they're trying to save their program. But, you know, they brought in a couple of guys that came from other programs with experience in a big time Division I situation and said, hey, we need someone that can help us with our biggest weakness. It didn't work out for Florida State, but it's worked out for Jalen Hurts. It's worked out in a couple situations where you think, okay, you know what? Missouri is another one. Uh-huh. The kid from Clemson that got beat out decided that that's where he was going to take his talents, and he's playing. So we'll see how it works out. Just shocking news if you're a Cougars fan, like certain people that work on this show.
You going to be okay, buddy?
You going to be okay?
You good? I don't want
I'll
you to.
I'll be fine.
Okay. I'm just making sure.
You know, Dana's kid is the walk-on, one of the walk-on backup quarterbacks.
I was expecting you to, like, ugly cry when you found out he was leaving. Just give us
That's Kirsten right now. That's our favorite Kirsten Spike. She's upset. Crying right now. Yeah.
I think you would have gotten more upset about the way they lost to Tulane than the fact that he's leaving. Because that was painful.
Probably, yeah. Because Tulane is not, I hate to say it, they're just not as respected in this conference.
Right.
No. Worst loss, though, Cougs at Tulane or TCU at SMU?
That's pretty bad for a TCU program with Patterson. They've had that team's been on the uptick for a long time. To lose a game like that, that's not a good look.
No.
But, like you said,
terrible.
Or Washington State losing to UCLA.
Yeah.
Because that was a hell of an entertaining game to watch, but it wasn't the greatest footballs or decision-making in the history of college football. And for Mike Leach to sit there in a postgame going, we play like we played in the first half, we can beat anybody. Play like we played in the second half, anybody can beat us. Well, you proved that, Coach.
Yeah. Because
you went out like gangbusters in the first half, and then you just took it in the hiney the rest of the game.
I guess we found out when it comes down to mascots that a cougar would lose to a Bruin. That's for sure.
Those women have nails.
Is that what a Bruin is?
Oh, a cougar.
Oh. See?
You looked up the Bruin.
What is a Bruin again?
It was more like a fictitious bear.
Oh, that's right.
But of course, my wife went there. She's like, go look at the statue. It's a big, imposing, menacing bear.
It's a bear, especially.
In your mind, it is.
Especially in children's fables. So it's a bear from a children's fable.
And you know what they do?
They lost to an old.
And they puff and they can blow that house down.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Isn't that a wolf?
I don't care. My wife thinks.
You're thinking of a wolf.
I don't care. My wife thinks it's like this massive, powerful being. I was like, go look up the definition. We looked it up on the show. It's in cartoons, for God's sake. Probably like Winnie the Pooh. Got one paw in the honey and the other.
Oh, hey. That sounds like a euphemism.
Anyway, we got to move on. We're rolling through hour number 2, 3-hour show. Plenty more to get to. Stay tuned. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, if you can't sleep, we can always keep you awake. We can always keep things moving on a Monday in the big city when you knew it was going to be a long week, back to the grind, not looking forward to it. Always look forward to having you be a suspect in a part of our show as we've been skipping around all the different stories that are happening. The breaking news is that De'Aaron King is going to leave the University of Houston program. He's going to redshirt and look for other opportunities.
Down.
That's a little bit surprising.
He was class of 2016 in high school, so that means he would be a junior this year, redshirt, and would be a redshirt senior.
He's able to redshirt because the threshold is 4 games.
Yes.
Once you've played 4 games, then you can't redshirt. So
that
obviously,
year.
Yeah. So this is it for him, and he had to make the decision now.
So 2017, he was a freshman. 2018, he was a sophomore. So 2019, he redshirts. So he still would have 2 more years of eligibility after redshirting. Yeah,
I'd check that.
No, when you redshirt, you get to sit out a year and still you don't lose a year of eligibility.
Or
so he
you
would
finish your regular studies.
He can be a redshirt senior. You're a 5th-year senior. You're
and then
a redshirt.
Play one more year somewhere else. That's what Hurts is doing. So I don't know that he's got 2 years.
Well, wherever he goes, he can play 2 more years by redshirting this year. Because you're sitting out your junior year, you redshirt, which means you didn't waste a junior year. You still get that year plus your senior year. So you would have two more years wherever he goes.
I thought he had played through his junior year.
He was class of 2016 in high school, which means he graduated in 2016. So am I right on that? I think he graduated in 2016.
We'll have to check.
Now that I might be wrong.
Yeah, we have to check.
If he graduated in 2016, which I thought he did in high school, he would have 2 years left. If not, he's got one.
Yeah, I thought he only had one left here at U of H, therefore he'd have one somewhere
else.
Maybe,
but maybe I'm off on his graduation.
But you are absolutely right. If he is a junior this year and he redshirts in time, which he's doing.
Let me see. Let me just go to the damn Cougars.
So, we can check on that. But a lot of people chiming in and trying to pass judgment. Look, it's an interesting look for a program that's just trying to get back in the swing of things. And we know, like
he says, he's a senior.
That's what I thought. So
how is he a senior? So he'll be a red. So he sits out. He'll have 1 year left.
Yeah.
I thought. Oh well. I guess I was off on when he. Man, has he really been there that long?
I remember because he was playing receiver, and he's playing for Tom Herman.
I guess so. This is his fourth year.
Yeah. Wow. So he's going to save his final year of eligibility, and in the process, Dana's going to be looking for, really going to be looking for his recruits now.
Yeah.
In terms of what he's going to do with the program going forward, because at least when he looked at the cupboard coming in, he knew that he had a really talented and athletic quarterback, and now he's gone. So it looks like it's going to be kind of a washed-up lost season for the Cougs, but hopefully when he starts recruiting that he'll get the kind of players he wants and they'll get it back on the uptick again.
Somebody tweeted and said he could be the replacement for Jalen Hurts. And then,
I totally agree with that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's definitely the kind of situation he's probably looking for because, as I said, he's going to look for an established program. You know, Jason Hebert was questioning, you know, why would you leave? Well, you look at Greg Ward, and you look at Greg Ward, who was everything for this program, but at the same time, he also was at a program that was riding high, maybe as high as it was going to be for a while, as we're seeing now, and we knew, and he knew that Tom Herman was going to leave and everything else, so he rode it out, and then he got an opportunity to play wide receiver in the NFL with the Eagles, so Derek King may or may not play quarterback at the next level or try to, but he's got enough talent. If he gets in the right situation to showcase it, that he can play on the next level somewhere.
He does. He's got the skills and abilities to play. I mean, he would remind me a little bit of a Deshaun Jackson or something like that. If he since he's played a little receiver as
remember
well.
Remember Randall L. that used to play
Antoine
for the Steelers.
Randall L. Yep. Yeah.
Was a guy that could throw it but run routes and was an effective receiver.
Hill in New Orleans.
So, yeah, there's definitely opportunities out there. So we'll see how where he ends up picking his next school is going to be real interesting. And like you said, based on who recruited him from the get-go, would it be a school like that?
Right, where
that's
he goes.
Looking for him to kind of come in the last minute and save the day. So we'll see how that plays out. So bad news for the Cougs, as even King's dad has said, they're making a selfish move, but it's in the best interest of the kid and the family, so we'll see how it plays.
Yeah.
Astros, by the way.
Uh-huh.
We need to get to that.
We do?
Because with everybody watching all this football yesterday, people forgot that there was a chance to clinch, and they did just that yesterday as George Springer did it in big fashion before the fourth inning even finished. He had three bombs, three ding-dongs, Barry. I mean, deep ding-dongs, just deep shots. I mean, he brought the big stick, and he used it. And in the process, Verlander holds it down on the mound. And celebrations abound.
Verlander gets number 20.
Yep.
Five innings, two earned runs. Only the 5 Ks, but that was kind of interesting.
I was a little surprised by that, too, because you think this is his last home start. So of all the things, you want him to get the 20th win, but you also would love to see him get to 300.
He's going to need 12 in his next outing.
For 300.
Yeah. He's at 288
And also
right
it was 3,000, too.
Yeah, what is he at career-wise?
I think they were almost... I thought they were almost...
six.
I thought for 3,000?
Yeah, he needs six for 3,000.
That's another reason why I thought he was going to go heavy on the strikeout yesterday. And I know it's not something that you can predict.
Yeah.
But...
sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I wanted to look at their schedule, because I want to see how this shapes up for the playoffs. Playoffs? I want to see where he would slot in. So Garrett Cole would get the last start of the year, which means Verlander would be scheduled to start on September 28th. Right now, you had Verlander pitch yesterday. Tomorrow is Cole, and then Greinke, then Miley. Ugh, we need to talk about that, too.
Oh, boy, we sure do. I put it on the list.
Urquidy, then Verlander and Cole. So Verlander has one more start left. Cole has two more starts left, according to this. That kind of begs the question if you start looking at the – when do you say, all right, you know what, Verlander, that might have been your last start of the year.
Well, I'll tell you when they do that. When they start realizing that they're opening up a little bit of a gap between the Dodgers and the Yankees. It's one
but
game with the Yanks
then.
Right now, and that's the most important because you know that you have – you're almost inevitably going to see the Yankees. You don't know if you're going to see the Dodgers or not on the other side.
Right.
But I think that if they were able to open up a little bit of a pad between those two teams – then I think you definitely start considering. Look, it's the same way when you're looking at your rotations based on the wild card game and otherwise, and as you get deeper into the playoffs, you take it all into consideration. And if there's nothing left to play for, then you make sure you keep the bullets in the chamber for when it matters most, and that's the playoffs. And even if when you talk about all the different comments coming out of the locker room yesterday, sure, it's nice to win the division. Yes, but this is just the stepping stone to other bigger, more grandiose goals for this team for this season. So, yeah, I think it definitely will factor in if they can get some kind of a cushion.
Have they released the playoff schedule? Because I know the wild card games are October 1st and 2nd.
So that I thought means, you had seen it. You had done some research on it a while back.
Yeah, I did. I need to go find that because I'm just looking at the one from the Google search, and it just shows game one and of on 10-3 and 10-4 are all the game ones. So depending on that day, that's going to determine kind of how the pitching matchup set up because you've got, what, September 29th? There's 30 days, so you would have an off day before the playoffs start October 1st, so that would be two more days in between, which means Gerrit Cole, if he does start that last game of the year, he's definitely not starting game one. Right. That means Justin Verlander would be your starter. So if he pitched on the 28th, that would mean you wouldn't have 4 days rest if the schedule starts on – no, you would on the 3rd. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll look at it again. But it's going to be close. It's going to be interesting too. Do they save those guys like you said? At what point do you go? Well, you know what? We're not going to worry about it. We want these guys ready to go for the playoffs. So I don't know.
Well, it's going to be interesting to see how their thought process lines up with because you know Cole still hasn't given up on a Cy Young.
Oh no!
So that's
what
a
I'm saying.
Big deal. That
he's
for
scheduled
him
to have
two
more
starts
left,
and Verlander one, and he's trying to chase a no hitter. Which is on the resume of the other guy. And you know with free agency, as we talked about, that's kind of an extra bargain chip that you have to bring to the table. You know that obviously he has bigger fish to fry too, but that's still weighing on his mind that with two starts left, blow him out of the water in strikeouts, get closer to him in wins. It's just like when we're comparing Mike Trout and Alex Bregman. So
right.
We'll see how that all plays out. By the way, your manager this year, AJ Hinch, did another just hell of a job talking to his team after the game.
Oh,
after the break,
cool?
We're going to get to that. The only difference is he saved the F-bombs this year, so it was more viewer and listener friendly, but a hell of a speech that we'll get to on the other side. So we've got one half in the books and the second half still to go. 90 minutes on the clock when we return. Stay tuned. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back for the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Appreciate you taking us on the go wherever you may be on Monday. And because we love the suspects and the support you give us, we try to get back whenever we can. And Houston's only beer fest with a German twist is coming. And now you have an opportunity to attend. Oktoberfest Houston showcases the best in German and Texas culture as beer and music lovers gather on the most festive day of the year. Right now, caller number 12, 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to taste a variety of German and local craft beer and listen to the best polka music on the planet. September 27th and 28th at Buffalo Bayou Park. For tickets and event info, if you don't win them, HoustonSSC.com. HoustonSSC.com. Good luck.
Nick, you ever had a German?
A German?
You ever had a German beer?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm just asking.
Where are you going there?
What? I'm just asking a question.
I thought you were going to ask if you ever had a German sausage.
Oh.
A bratwurst.
You ever had a German sausage?
Negative.
Okay. So that negative. By the way, just cleaning up last segment, yes, I found my notes that I made where I was trying to predict the order. Here's the problem. October 4th is the first game for the Astros. So they play the 4th, 5th, 7th, 8th, and 10th. Problem is Wade Miley gets a start.
Does he?
Okay, that slot, that position. Uh-huh. You need a fourth starter in the first round because even JV, if he pitches on the 4th, unless you have him going on short rest or you don't sweep in three games, you're going to need somebody starting October 8th if you lose a game. That's a problem. Now, they did get Peacock back. Would you run Brad Peacock out there? I don't think he has the arm strength built up.
I'll tell you
He's been coming out of the bullpen, and you want to throw Josh James out there? Is that where you're going?
No, I'm not. Here's the thing. We talked about this before. I had heard, we had talked about.
Here we go.
No, that the organization had Urquidy on a pitch count and for the year and an innings count. And that he was close to that, and they weren't going to exhaust it because he's already had Tommy John surgery in his past. But the fact that they brought him back out this weekend, and it looks like they're still going to keep using him, he has been effective enough of all the names that you've thrown at me and because of the limitations on Peacock that I would say right now my gut feeling is I'd go with Urquidy before anybody else.
Really?
You can't go to McHugh. You don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Like you said, Peacock is not stretched out enough to where he's ready to go and give you long, you know, several innings.
Yeah.
James has been too erratic. I think that if you're telling me right now, pressing me, I got to make a pick, I'd say Urquidy.
Or you run Peacock out there for 2 to 3 innings to start game 4.
Yeah.
So you're opener. Like, all right, you're going to go. Yeah, he's more of an opener, but an opener usually only goes one inning. So in the case of Peacock, you may say, look, we're going to keep you on a specific pitch count. You've only got 15 starts under your belt this year. So he did have some time where he came out of the bullpen just like yesterday or whatever. So you might say, okay, Brad, you're going to have to go out there and give us 3 solid. We're going to maybe go to Urquidy for an inning or two, James for an inning or two.
Why don't you go to your boy?
See how that.
Why don't you see if your boy's available?
Ron Don't.
No, well, I changed the nickname this weekend. Did you see that?
Change it
too. I went from, instead of Ron Don't, I went to Ron Gone. Because every time he comes in, gone! Just like that.
That's pretty good.
I think it's 4 straight starts that Ron Gone served one up. And I'm just like, at what point do you pull the plug and go, I just don't trust him and the playoffs are about trust? Not that my guy James has looked any better, but I'm just saying. You went.
You don't want to compare ERAs between those two guys.
That we've had in this ongoing love fest,
this fight
we've had of the fact that you went into this whole season going, our bullpen's a position of strength, and now because of injuries and otherwise, you're looking at it going, there's not a lot of guys I trust.
I was just bragging on him too because he hadn't given up an earned run in September, and then he gives up home runs and back to back outings. And I'm just like, God, you make it so hard to defend you on a daily basis to Pac-Man Joel because you just prove his point.
And then you look at his face when he does it. I've given up defending him. I want him to be spitting like all over his face, upset everyone, and he's just like, okay.
I mean.
Okay, let's accentuate the positive. Okay. I was talking about this, but a year ago when they won the division, A.J. Hinch had a very F-bomb-filled speech of motivation and strength. This year, he toned down the F-bombs, but still delivered one hell of a message to his team. Sounded like this.
First off, congratulations. Unbelievable accomplishment. When you do it in the face of everybody's expectations, not only did we meet it, we exceeded it. Right in everybody's face. And everybody was right. We are the best team in the big leagues.
You're right.
We are the best team in the big leagues. We got a chance to go prove it. Before we get into this celebration, into the postseason, remember a couple things, right? Remember a lot about this team. We're going to remember a lot about this team. We're going to remember a couple no-hitters, including Toro. Where's Toro? We're going to remember some 30 homers. 30 homers out of 4 guys. Somebody's chasing 40. Cozy. We're going to remember the youngest closer to get to 150 saves. We're going to remember some hardware coming our way. There's some guy creeping on the rookie of the year. Jordan. And I don't know who's going to win the Cy Young, but I know he's in this room with JV and Cole. Hey, we'll take it. We have one. We have a couple MVPs in this room. We got somebody getting pretty close to his first MVP, and he should be, Greg. This might. Hey, we talk about winning series and winning weeks, winning months. We had 6 winning months, 45 players. We win 3 more series. We're going to hang another flag. Enjoy tonight.
That was solid, man.
That's a really good.
That'll give you some goosebumps
right
there.
That's a really good one.
It was fantastic. He touched on all the different aspects. The only thing, there's only one thing missing, fellas. I mean, I'm just thinking about it in the big picture.
Oh. Yeah.
With as good as that was, you know how great it would have been if he finished it by going, we looked at the rest of the league, fellas, and we hammered them, and we got 100 wins. We're going to do more. We're going to win a World Series for $9.33. And then all you senors and senoritas are with me, too. Because I can do this in Spanish. So that would have made it even better.
It would have made it a lot better.
But other than that, I thought AJ did a great job.
I'm trying to recall, because I heard somebody yell something during that little speech. There's never been a co-Cy Young, has there?
I don't think so. I don't know for sure. I would doubt it. Like, I know in the NBA there's been co-rookies of the year
right.
and things like that. But it doesn't – and I do know for a fact that there's never been a franchise in one season that had the rookie of the year, the Cy Young, and the MVP.
Yeah, now that's going to be pretty interesting if they can pull that off. And
he's getting closer, man.
You know, he added another home run over the weekend. He's sitting at 39 now. That magic number of 40 is going to look pretty good.
And you know how we like to stir up fodder on this show about what could have been?
Yes.
If George Springer never got hurt, the three bombs again yesterday, you look at his numbers across the board and go, if he didn't miss all those games, boy, you might be talking about two guys fighting it out for the MVP in that locker room,
as well,
just
as
like
two
Cy
guys.
Young. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking. I don't see any co. I don't see that. Could this be the first? Do you think that there's.
I'd say this is the best case for it ever happening. I just don't think the voters are going to do that.
Since it's based on a point system, that's probably.
Yeah,
you're right.
I don't think it's just.
One guy, I doubt that they end up with the same amount of points, but. I wouldn't have a problem at all.
I wouldn't
if
either.
They were to say, look, I mean, you guys basically had identical years.
I'd be totally fine with it. But here's the thing. With every given start and what I talked about after this last week when you and I were kicking this all around, the more I've been thinking about it, the more, if I'm Jim Crane, I do everything in my power to try and re-sign Garrett Cole at the end of the year. If it means you got to give up Reddick and a few others, that's fine.
Yeah, you got Tucker.
But if you've got the dominance that you have in a rotation, just having those two guys, I'd try and keep that intact.
Well, so we know that the Astros are going to win more than 103 games, which was the franchise record they set last year when they were on 103. Do they – so they're going to set a new record. Is this the greatest Astros team of all time?
Not till they win it all.
Okay. I kind of tend to agree with that. If they fizzle out in the playoffs for some reason, they run into the Yankees and lose.
I'll give you the exact example.
I would agree with that.
The greatest regular season team in the history of the NBA is the Golden State Warriors. The reason why it can't be considered the greatest, one of the greatest seasons, or the single greatest season, they didn't win it all.
That year, the Patriots went undefeated and lost to the Giants and Eli.
They didn't win it all.
Yeah.
So in order to validate the season in terms of the overall legendary greatness in the history of the game, they got to win it all.
Agree.
So, still, though, taking nothing away from an Astros team, they lived up to expectations that A.J. Hinch said, did what everybody thought they could get done. They got it done. So, kudos to them as now they're preparing for trying to wrap up best record in the American League in baseball and head into the playoffs to take care of the rest of those goals. So, that's a good thing.
Yeah, and they're not going to catch Seattle, who had 116 wins. But it was a valiant effort. Hey, guys, if you're not using GetUpside, boy, I don't know what you're doing with yourself, but you need to get on it right now. I tweeted this out earlier, and we've had a listener who let me know he's got over $500 in his GetUpside account. That's money that he didn't leave at the pump and he didn't leave at the table, and I hope you're not doing the same. If you haven't downloaded GetUpside already, put it on your phone right now. Do yourself that favor. Look, here's the beautiful thing. Not only was GetUpside featured on ABC 13 and they talked about how great the app is, but there's no catch. There's no, you know, you're not locked into any long-term commitments. You don't have to do anything other than download the app and install it and register your account, and then you're good to go, and you start getting cash back. It's that simple. And if you don't like it, you don't want to use it, you hate money, you hate free money, well, that's up to you. Then don't use it. You don't have to. You're not locked in. But I think you're going to love it. I absolutely love the app. I use it. The wife uses it. Nick uses it. If AJ, there's so many people here at the station that are on the Get Upside app. So many listeners are getting involved in it. I love when you guys send me screenshots and I see $75 in an account, $100. I mentioned the $500. There's guys that get $5, $25, $30 in a couple of weeks. Don't leave that money at the pump. Don't leave that money at the table. Guys, this is that easy to use. It takes you minutes to install and be up and running. And all you're doing, look, you're already going to the pump or to the table when you eat, and you're using your debit card and you're getting a receipt. All you have to do, the only difference to start getting money back, is have that app and take a picture of the receipt and upload it. And within 24 hours, GetUpside puts the cash back that you got back into your account. It's that simple. And then you can get gift cards with that money. You can get it transferred to a PayPal account. Whatever you want to do, it's your money. Don't waste it. Do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back and thank me later.
Is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
All right, here we go. Wrapping up hour number two of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. We take you till 4. Blitz takes you till 7. Keep it tuned right here to ESPN 97.5. Talking about a whole bunch of stuff today as we've got the Texans, Astros, Cougars breaking news. And it gets worse, guys, if you're a Coug like certain people that are key members of this program. It's already bad enough that your Cougs are going to lose De'Eriq King, Nicholas.
Yes, sir.
The follow-up, though, is not good because Mark Berman, when he continued his conversation with De'Eriq King's father, his father continued to say that while his decision was not final, it's just not me redshirting. It's a bunch of other guys as well.
Ooh.
Now, you don't need a mass exodus. That would be a very bad look Ooh. For a new coach trying to get a very good situation going.
Now, this might be the homer in me.
Yeah.
You know, I think if there is any type of negativity because of this situation, whether it's in the locker room or a beef between, you know, Coach Dana and King, this is the time to go through it. It's his first year.
True.
Get over it now. Put your stamp and your fingerprint on this program. And let's see what you can do as a coach, Dana. That's, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all you can do is, even if, look, no one's ever going to feel good about that situation if you're a player trying to make it into the NFL. And I'm assuming King has those aspirations. It's not a win-win. It's not a win-win situation. It's not a fun situation for anybody. I like Dana going through this now rather than later. That's just my personal opinion.
I like Dana. I've been a fan of his wherever he's gone. I think he's a really good dude, too. But I think that he's proven he can coach. He's made programs better wherever he's gone, including what he did to kind of resurrect West Virginia. And I believe in him going forward. It's just not a good look to start your career at U of H with this job, with this situation. But it also goes to show you that what was left for him when he got here was obviously not ideal in terms not just getting guys that can play his system his way, just getting guys that can play. And you know, in any situation, change is not normally received well. And he came in with his own ideas, philosophy, and it's his butt on the line year to year. You know he's going to run things his way. And a lot of people are going to probably say, this wasn't Tom Herman's way. This isn't what we were used to. Mm-hmm. Well, then do what you got to do, and that's what they're doing.
I think they're going to have to. So.
But it's interesting that he says that Berman said that while De'Eriq King's father said that King is leaving the program, his decision's not final. He said he's got to go talk to Coach Holgorsen. And he said then he followed it up with, it's not just me redshirting, it's a bunch of other guys as well. Asked when he will make a final decision. Today after 5 p.m., it's not final.
What the
that's
hell?
Just, you know, that's like sitting squarely on the fence.
Yeah.
You want the splash of saying you're redshirting and you're leaving, then you're possibly leaving. Now you're not going to know until you actually make the decision whether you're leaving. That's not coming till later.
I'm interested to see who else and how many.
That's the biggest thing to me.
Yeah.
Is that I'd be a little bit more concerned about how many others are going to follow. Because that's just not good.
No, it's not.
But as I said from the get-go, though, I fully expected him, recruiting-wise, to try and get his recruits, his players in here to play. And he's in a hotbed of football, obviously, with everything that we see in the high school programs in this city alone. When you look at the North Shores and the Katies and all the different talent that comes through Houston for high school, he's going to have, you know, his pick in terms of guys to go after. It's just now, because of Tom Herman's established roots in Houston when he was here.
Yep.
And with the Texas Longhorns on the uptick with Herman there, you know, that's an issue. Jimbo's still always going to be a factor because it is the SEC. So he's not going to probably get the cream. But he's probably, if he can get some of the guys close to the top, could do a lot worse.
I mean, again, recruiting is tough when you don't have it's tough when you're kind of starting over, and that sounds like that's kind of what's going to happen here if he loses the big name in this program, and that's a big blow. And so you've got to try to start over in recruiting and convince guys that this is a destination school where you want to play at, like you said, as opposed to losing them to sexier schools in the state or near the state. And this state already loses a lot of recruits to Oklahoma and Louisiana and Florida.
Mm-hmm.
And so you don't want to, you know, you want to kind of keep those guys in. But this is going to be difficult, man. I feel like with all this news coming down, especially starting off the way that this program and this team and his tenure started off, he's got a big uphill battle. He's got a big hill to climb. This is going to be very difficult. I'd be surprised if he comes out of this within 2 years and turns this thing around.
Well, you think about it. You can only get so many guys in a year's time, and those guys, all those players are going to be true freshmen.
Well, that's why I said 2 years. That'll be two more years. So I'm saying in his third year, it's... But it's going to be tough,
even
man.
Then, I mean, you're expecting from, you know, these guys becoming men and in the weight room and all those different things that with the time it takes, you're right. Maybe it might be longer than that.
And when you're recruiting these guys, you're getting, you know, if the majority of your recruits are 2 and 3 stars, they're undersized to begin with.
Now, transfers are a different story. Now, he's gotten some big size-wise kids to transfer to play line on both sides of the ball. But he's going to have – it's an uphill battle right now.
Yeah. Speaking of bad, my damn Aggies. I don't know what happened.
Did you see a lot of people saying,
bless.
So first of all, someone did the bug eyes emoji and everybody said it was because he was watching the A&M game.
Uh-huh.
And then everybody jumped on that with just really vicious shots about going, yeah, it looked like you were coaching him again for a day and ripping him to shreds. So yeah, not a good look for the Aggie program.
Aggies, I don't know what, I don't, you know, it was funny because I was a couple weeks ago, we talked about the Aggs and Jimbo Fisher in a new era and a new feeling and attitude, and I watch and go, same old Aggs, year in and year out, same old Aggs. They were as high as 12. How the hell they didn't fall out of the top 25, I don't know, at 2-2, but they're 20. I think they dropped 6 more spots, so they're in the low 20s, maybe 23, 22, something like that. It's tough to watch.
Speaking of new teams in the top 10, how'd Michigan do this weekend? Just thought I'd ask a question. Anyway, 2 hours in the books, 1 hour still to go. Final 60 minutes of the show. Usual Suspects coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.